If you will, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. This is a good time to ask this question. What defines insanity? Trying to figure out what I'm asking on these questions. I did a little research on the internet to see if I could get some people's idea of what defines insanity. I've come up with a couple of quotes here that I want to share with you, because my premise tonight is that the only sane person in Jericho was Rahab. But in order to prove that, we have to define what sanity or insanity is. Rita Mae Brown said, "The statistics on sanity are that one out of every four people is suffering from a mental illness. Look at three of your best friends. If they're okay, then it's you." Oscar Levant said, "There's a fine line between genius and insanity. I have erased this line." Hunter Thompson said, "The edge, there's no honest way to explain it because the only people who really know where it is are those who have gone over it." Ray Bradbury, "Insanity is relative. It depends on who has who locked in what cage." It's kind of interesting. Libba Bray said, "I should never be left alone with my mind for too long." That may be true. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on." Tim Burton may have summed it up pretty well, though, when he said, "One person's craziness is another person's reality." Well, from a biblical standpoint, what is insanity? And I'm going to give you my definition. Insanity is not to believe in the existence of God. The only thing that's worse is to believe that there is a God, but that he doesn't matter. That's insanity. There's a God out there, but it doesn't really matter. Our text in Hebrews tonight says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Question. How in the world did that come about? Why was it that Rahab received the spies and the other guys did not? Well, we want to take a look in Joshua chapter 2. And if you'll forgive me a little bit, I'm losing my voice a little. Getting all choked up here. Verse 1, "And Joshua, the son of Nun," which means he had no parents. He was the son of Nun, "sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they have come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not or knew not whence they were.' And it came to pass, about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for you should overtake them." That's downright lie. "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. When the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan unto the fords, as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, Let all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither would there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all they that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that he will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let down by a cord, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, till the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may you go your way. The men said unto her, we will be blameless. This thine oath, which thou hast made us swear, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bind, or bring thy father and thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. We will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. She bound the scarlet line in the window. I have a number of questions, actually two questions that are both two-parters. We need the answer. Here's a woman of faith, according to Hebrews 11. How could Rahab have come to a saving faith? Which she did. How was that absolutely possible for her? Second question out of that one, why didn't the rest of the people of Jericho believe? We read here that they all have heard that, so they all had opportunities. Second question, how could have Rahab lied? If she's a genuine believer, how could she do that? And even more importantly, why did God honor the lie, which he did? So four questions, or two if you want to take them that way. Let's look at the first one. How could Rahab come to saving faith? Well, where does saving faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing. So she had to hear the word of God somewhere, or a testimony about the workings of God. Go back to verse 9. Look what she says. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Well, where in the world would she have heard that from? Who told her that? Well, when was that made known? It was made known to Abraham, who would have been there close to 500 years before. That was part of the Abrahamic covenant. Well, how did that word get to her? Well, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. And that would include the city of Jericho. She understood the determination of God. God has determined that this land belongs to you. Now, guess what? That's ancient news. Over 400, close to 500 years before. And yet, because it was truth, Can you get rid of truth? The answer is you can suppress it, but you can never get rid of it. Truth is always truth. And it survived for 400 to 500 years, and she knew that. Well, then what does it say, verse 10? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. That's God's deliverance from Egypt. That's just old news. That was only roughly 40 years prior to that. But it's still hanging around. Now, how in the world did that news get up there? Well, the Egyptians were trading with the people in the area, and undoubtedly a miraculous event like that made its way up there, and the people knew about that. So they knew the determination of God. They knew the deliverance of God. In the end of verse 10, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan. Well, that's the destruction of Sihon and Og. That's recent news. I tried to look to see if I could find exactly the date of when that took place. And I couldn't find anywhere an exact date given. There's nothing in Scripture that says this is so many days or months or whatever. Probably it was about a month, if my figuring is correct. Somewhere in that ballpark. So it's relatively recent news. And news that's going on in the area, and it wasn't that far away, would certainly make its way to Jericho. So they heard the determination of God, the deliverance from Egypt, and the destruction from that. Well, what do you have there? Interesting. You have, God has determined that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. He's determined that these people are going to inhabit this land, and us guys aren't one of them. Belongs to somebody else. We're living here outside of the will of God. So you have the first part of the gospel of, hey, I'm a sinner. I'm not living according to the declared will of God. We find that God delivers his people by a strong arm and provides salvation for them. There these people were in Egypt, and they couldn't do anything to get rid of, to get out of there. They were just being enslaved by Pharaoh. God says, we'll take care of that. Here we are. Nothing I can do to change my sinful condition, but God delivers those who will trust him. And if you don't, look what you did to Sihon and Og. God is also a God who judges unbelievers. I think there you have pretty much the essence of the gospel. So, what is it? She made a logical or sane decision. She put two and two together, or in this case, one and one and one together, came up with three. The terror has fallen upon us and upon me. But in the same way that he delivered you, he's able to deliver me. And consequently, you have good news. Ancient news, old news, recent news, amounting to good news. And she believed it. That's all that was necessary. She had the ability, I believe, to believe just as everybody else does. But that brings up the question, why didn't the rest of the people of Jericho believe? Because of the depravity of their soul. They looked at the situation. They knew of the same three things. Basically, they said to themselves, we've been here this long. Nothing's ever happened to us. We can continue to live here despite what Abraham said. We've got these impressive walls that will keep us safe. We don't need a deliverance. Sihon and Og sent their armies out to face Israel. We're staying in here. And as we looked at last week, it said that Jericho was tightly shut up. No one went in, no one went out. As long as we're behind the walls, we're safe. Well, how'd that work out? See, what they believed was fake news. We're good in and of ourselves. And that just didn't work. Unfortunately, a lot of people today think the same thing. We just don't need that kind of salvation. But here's the next problem. How could have Rahab lied? I mean, she's a believer. I think there's no question that when you come in verse 11 and she says, her conclusion is, for the Lord your God, He is God. Not a God in the plurality of things. He's the one and only God, both in heaven above, and His authority extends here on earth, and we're subject to Him. That, to me, that's a definite statement of saving faith. So how could a genuine believer lie about those things? Give you a couple of things that I think answer the question. Rahab had to make a quick decision. Here these men come. She doesn't have a whole lot of time to figure out what's going on, but she apparently there was enough time that the men said to her, look, we're checking things out here. And it wasn't long after that that the officials came. Sometimes we decide matters wrongly simply because we don't have enough time to think things through. They happen just like that, and you have to make a snap decision. And of course, we always make the right decision in a moment of panic, don't we? Well, no, it doesn't always happen that way. Secondly, Rahab was a relatively new believer. How long had she believed? Well, the recent news was no more than a month old. I don't think that she had put all that stuff together and genuinely come to saving faith till the people of Israel were camped on the other side of Jordan. Probably it was a couple of days. Young believers haven't had time enough to develop godly habits. Unto whom much is given, much is required. But she hadn't had a whole lot of time given to her to develop these things. And God's not going to hold her to the same standards as a mature believer. Now, let me also say quickly that sin is always sin, no matter how mature the believer is or isn't. But I think there's a couple of things that would go that way. But then God honors the lie. I can see that He didn't strike her dead because she lied, but not only that, He honored the lie. He used it, permitted it. Why would God do that? At this point in history, for her, a commandment had not to lie had not been given. Now, there was a commandment given to the Israelites. That wasn't her. There was no commandment prior to the Mosaic law that said, thou shalt not lie. That would be encompassing all of humanity. Now, you could say, well, that's the character of God, and she should know the character. No, she's a new believer. On top of that, sometimes God uses the sin of man to accomplish His purposes. Ask you a question. Is homosexuality sinful? The answer is yes. Is having a plurality of women sinful? Of wives, yes. Why did God bless the men with plural wives and destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? What's the first commandment given to man? be fruitful and multiply. And God's will in that could be carried out, not necessarily in the way that he had hoped it to be carried out, but nonetheless, it would accomplish his purposes, his will. People of Sodom and Gomorrah could never accomplish that will. Here, it was necessary for these guys to go back. And by no means am I saying, well, we can justify this on the basis of that. No, we can't. But God can use it to accomplish his purposes. And he did. They went out when the coast was clear. They got back. They report. And victory was gained, which was God's will. What do we learn from this? Two things. Your faith in Christ can and should lead others to the same salvation, but they must be told about Jesus in order for them to be saved. Must be. Faith cometh by hearing. So hearing necessitates somebody speaking. It's not the natural part of man to understand that thing. Those things are alien to him. And 400 plus years before that, Abraham gave a little bit of the gospel. This is the land that God's promised to us. The people coming up from Egypt. Hey, look what the Lord did. That was 40 plus years before that. Someone came from Sihon and Og in the country of Moab and said, man, we just got wiped out. Someone told of what God was doing. And consequently, Rahab was able to put those things together. Faith cometh by hearing. And how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. But wait a minute. You don't preach the gospel through your feet, do you? What part does the feet have to do with this? It's taking the message from one place to another. And that's how Rahab heard. Secondly, the declaration of your faith in Christ may not make a huge impact on others today, but it might change the course of history tomorrow. Now, in Rahab's case, well, yeah, the city of Jericho perished. Well, that's kind of significant, but the world went on pretty much unchanged, except for the people of Jericho. What happened after that? Well, she met up with a guy by the name of Salmon, got married, and the two of them together had a son named Boaz. And Boaz married a woman by the name of Ruth. And Boaz and Ruth had a son whose name was Jesse. And Jesse had a son whose name was David. I think we have a change of history here, don't we? Because from the lines of David came whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that changes history. It took 1,400 years. But that changed history. Your declaration of faith may only save one person today. That one person might affect history for all of time. We tend to get upset when we fail in our evangelistic efforts. I witnessed my heart out to this person and nothing happened. Or we get excited that one person actually trusted Christ, but even in our excitement, oh, I witnessed to 10 and only one came to faith. Only takes one to change the world in which we live. We need to be faithful, sharing the gospel and telling others the most wonderful story that's ever told. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight in the ministry that we have of sharing your word around the world that others might come to know Jesus Christ as Savior in a similar fashion the way Rahab did. hearing the good news from other people, making a decision that is absolutely sane. May we make a dent into the insanity of this world, of people who either think there is no such thing as God, or that do say he doesn't matter at all. For this we pray, in the name of our Savior, for your glory. Amen. Good week.